patience.
And the topic that I would like to give you is chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to give a topic of the sleeping saints. Sleeping saints. And it is amazing what sin has done to this world. You think about it. It's amazing what the sin has done to man. Even it has made the metaphors, the pictures of goodness and the blessings of the Lord, these are pictures or the metaphors, have become, because of sin, it has become a curse. The pictures of, even if you look at a metaphor like water. Water is a good thing. It's a picture of life, water. Jesus said, I am the living water. It's a picture of life. But if you look at water, a picture, a metaphor, how sin has done to water. If you remember, mankind was destroyed during the time of Noah by water. So the same water that brings life had destroyed mankind because of sin. And another thing you can look is a fire. Fire too is a good metaphor. Fire of the Holy Spirit. It's a zeal that Christians have, a fire. Fire is always good when there is a winter weather, cold weather. Fire keeps us warm. So fire is a good metaphor. But the same word fire, because of sin, has influenced fire. Sometimes our tongues are called a flame of fire, where we can destroy many people. And also, there's a metaphor and the truth of fires of hell. Well, I said the sermon that I would give today is sleeping saints. And what about sleep? Yes. Then there is sleep, which is a blessing. David said in Psalm 127 verse 2, you don't have to turn with me, he said, he gives to his beloved sleep. A sleep is a blessing given by God for us to rest, to recharge our bodies, so we can wake up the following day and praise him again. We can sleep in Jesus. We can rest in Jesus. Amazingly, our beloved master was sleeping in the boat. So the sleep is a good thing. We need the sleep. We need the rest. But amazingly, sin has even touched this metaphor. And the blessing of sleep has become a curse now. Sleep now, the metaphor of sleep, is a sinful condition of man. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6 says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Let us not be asleep as others do. Let us not be asleep as the unbelievers do, but let us be awake. And if now, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 13, chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, as we are going to go through the scriptures, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But everything is exposed by the light. If not for the word of God today, these words cannot be exposed. The sin will not be exposed if not for the word of God. The laziness and the sleepiness and the slumberness will not be exposed. It's not for the word of God. It's the word of God that is the light that brings everything to visible. Therefore, it says, because the word of God has exposed these things, says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. There are many who are spiritually dead today. In the church, there are even people who are in the church. There are many who are spiritually dead. Alright? Now this sermon goes beyond this congregation. It goes beyond to many people who are listening. Because they are dead, they are asleep. Remember when Lazarus was dead and Jesus said he is just sleeping. He's asleep. Remember when God told Adam, you can eat any fruits of any of the trees, but of this particular tree, you cannot eat the fruit. But what did Adam do? Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit. They obeyed Satan. What happened after that? God said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And soon as Adam ate that fruit, death entered their life. Not only physical death, but also spiritual death. Man was separated from God. There was spiritual death. So here we see man, because of disobedience, because of sin, the unregenerate man, again, is spiritually dead. Now, the unspiritual man, they cannot understand the spiritual things. They are spiritually dead. The man who is spiritually dead will not understand the spiritual things of God unless God bring that person alive. So here we see that the people are very healthy and alive, but they are healthy and alive to sin. And at the same time, they are dead to God. They are in darkness of sin unless the God of light will awaken them, bring them from their death to life. Then many sinners can come and they see the light. And this light, of course, is the greater light, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. He is the one who can lighten up people. He is the one who can bring people from deadness to spirituality. He is the one who can bring people from darkness to the light of Christ. As in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will shine upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Remember, it says here, the Lord will arise upon you. You cannot arise on your own. It's only God will arise upon you. And also verse 3 says, and nations will come to your light and to the brightness of your rising. If you turn with me to John 1:1. He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And here we see the great light, the light of Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives the light to men whom He desires. He illuminates us. Alright? So, we too were dead one time. In dark, we too were dead spiritually. We too were in darkness. Then there was one day that the Lord called us when we were dead, and we rose from our dead, and came to the Lord, and we adore Him, worship Him. And this is the time that we can serve Him and worship Him. Before, we were just like the unbelievers. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians, we were dead in the trespasses and sins. Dead people don't have life. They are spiritually dead. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So we are not saved by any works that we have done. We are not saved by our own decisions, thinking, oh, I made the decision, it's my own decision that saved me. No, the salvation is of the Lord. It is Christ Jesus who made us alive. It is because of grace we have been saved. The opposite of grace is what? Works. So it's not by works, it's by grace we have been saved. That filthy, wicked sinners like us, who did not deserve any salvation at all, God in His mercy saved us. We were bondage to sin. We were chained to sin. We were slaves to sin. There was no way we could rise on our own power. There was no way we could break the chains at all. Only a heavenly power is needed to break the chains of sin and the slavery. Remember Peter, he was put to prison by Herod. And he was chained. He was put in a cell and he was fast asleep. He was chained, he was in a cell, and he was sleeping. There's no way he can get up. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 12, verse 6. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. 12, verse 6. And servant says, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. He was asleep, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping in the prison. And now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off of his hands. That's the exact situation when we were in bondage to sin. We were in a cell. We were chained to sin. We were under the bondage of sin. And there is no way we could get out because of that. Not in that. There's a God there. We were in Satan's kingdom. And here we see the angel of the Lord came and there was a light. In our case, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was His word, the gospel. When we heard it, the light came. The chains fell off. And we were loosened. The chains fell off. My soul was set free. My heart was set free. And I was free to come from darkness, from bondage, to the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. What God has done for us. So we were just like that. And how we need to adore the grace of God now. How we need to worship at His feet and thank Him for what He has done. For sinners like us, it's the Lord who rescued us. There was no way we could rescue ourselves. Now, that's the theology. Now the application. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper. There are people who are sleeping in the church. And these people are called, I would call them, sleeping saints. Because they are professing to be Christians. But they are sleeping in the church. And many are, if you are not dead to Christ, but if you are alive to Christ, but why go back to sleep? How can you sleep when you realize what your Savior has done for you? But it is sad that many people are sleeping. When I mean sleeping, I'm not talking literal language here, but I'm talking figurative language. But there are some times I see literally people sleep too, during the sermon. But I'm more talking, not literally sleep, I'm talking figuratively, people are sleeping. What do you mean by asleep? I'm going to get into that. But how we need to see God in His mercy, God in His grace, He has saved us. And when I say people are sleeping, that means people are not active in the church. They are slothful. They are just spectators. They are just loitering in the vineyard of God, not plowing. People are lazy. People, they don't read the word, they don't act what the word says. They are just churchgoers. That's what I'm saying. You know, if God in His mercy, by His grace, He has given you a job. He has given you food to eat. He has given you a house. He has given you a car to drive. He has given you abundance of things in His mercy and grace where you don't deserve. Only thing what you and I deserve is hell and the wrath of God, because we have sinned against the Almighty God. But God, in His mercy, He has given these things to us. Now, if God has given these things to us, greatest is the salvation out of all this. He has given us these things. How can you go back to sleep? How? It is impossible. Now let us see some of the signs of sleeping saints. And I'm going to give you some of the signs. One is insensibility. Insensibility means they have no feelings. Another one is they are not active. And the other one is they are far away from the cross, but they are very close to the world. They are lukewarm Christians. The state of insensibility means there is no consciousness in them. That means they don't have any feelings. When they see the fatherless, the widow, the orphan, the needy, the poor, they have no feelings. They have no compassion because they have enough. They are only concerned about themselves. Their love, they have a love of religion. As they can praise God in the church, they do all the rituals in the church, but without any obedience and love for the Lord. Their flesh is fattened. They live in comfort, and they live in the pleasures of the glory of this world, but they don't care for the poor. And I'll tell you, I praise God that, I don't know, you have heard about Jackie. Jackie is a fatherless child. And Roxy is a widow. And Jackie and... So here we see Dorong is a fatherless child. And I praise God that my wife is sending all her salary to them to support. And we got an apartment there that the church can come and we feed the people and so forth like that. It's praise God that we can do this. In Ezekiel chapter 16, see the sin of Sodom and Sodom here. Ezekiel chapter 16, 48. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Wow. God is rebuking Israel. How much more He should be rebuking us today. Then He says here, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, I'll tell you. Any country that's had pride today is this nation. Fullness of food. You talk about fullness of food. The number one death in this country is too much food. Yeah. The number one death is they are too overfat. They die of being too much food. In other countries like India, people are starving without food. Here, fullness of food and abundance of what? Idleness. I talk idleness. Wow, you talk about the television and all those things. Abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. God is going to judge this nation. And if not, God is going to judge this country because we are living in sin. And many Christians have fallen into this trap. In James chapter 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is true religion. Now, many professing Christians are sound asleep. As there's an apathy in the church, there is no feeling. If somebody is sick or ill, they don't care as long as they are healthy. When somebody is persecuted and going through a difficult time, hardship, they don't care as long as they are not persecuted. If somebody is, you know, this is where you see the self-centered greediness. They only think about themselves. They are centered on themselves. If something happens to their body, they will feel it. As good, they are conscious of themselves, but not conscious of, have a feeling for the others. They stand at the very edge of hell, but they tremble not. The anger of the Lord is burning against them, but they fear not. That is amazing. I wonder about this. When I was teaching about 20 years ago, the church was different. Very different. But today, we have fallen to the ways of the world. They drink from the worldly cup of pleasure and are intoxicated in this world. They are drunk in this world. They don't even feel it. Just like in the book of Jeremiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah. Have you read the book of Jeremiah? What does the book of Jeremiah talk about? It talks about the backslidden Christian. It talks about those people. Jeremiah tells those people, when they hear the word of God, when Jeremiah tells them to reform your ways and repent, they don't even blush. They don't even feel it. That's the situation in the church today. People are sleeping. They're at the very brink of hell, but they tremble not. God's anger is burning hot against them, but they fear not. They sing the worldly music according to the worldly tunes. They dream of the world, the American dream. To have everything, the goals, the ambitions, everything, the American way. But they don't realize this life is only a dream. Says in the Bible, Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, for me to live is what? For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, but for me to live is the world. Remember, when our beloved Master, he went out to pray, and he told his disciples, pray that you may not enter into temptation. But after agonizing in prayer, after so much agonizing in prayer, he came back to see his disciples were fast asleep. The sleeping saints have no power to resist temptation. Jesus said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. The sleeping saints, they have no power to resist temptation. Their moral strength has departed. They have the temptation for the lust, for the greed, and they are not content in what they have. Like a bird in the trap, they have been caught up into the world, the enemy of the world. They are unable to resist the temptations or the passions of this world. And they say, I cannot resist temptation. I cannot resist temptation. Yes, you cannot resist temptation because you are asleep. You are asleep. And the other thing is, the sleeping saints are inactive. They are inactive. They are active in the world. They wake up healthy. And they guard grace. They eat the good healthy foods. They do the exercises. They take the vitamins. And they are very healthy in the world. And in their flesh. They are strong. And they go to work. And they look alive. But to God, they are sleeping. And they come home. And they watch the TV, their favorite channels. But they are inactive in the Lord. They are active in the world. They are active for themselves. But they are inactive in the Lord. They give excuses. Saying, I have no time. I have no time. Remember, people came and said, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you. But each one gave excuses to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, people give excuses. I have no time. They cannot spend 1 hour with the Lord per day. No time for even 1 hour. God has given the time. We are going to see time next week. But they cannot spend even 1 hour. By the way, do you spend any time with the Lord daily? Do you? I'm talking 1 hour. How about you? There are many professing Christians who are inactive and they are sound asleep while sinners are perishing. People are dying daily and going to the eternal fires of hell. While sleeping saints go to church and wish their pastor to feed them spiritual food. They are spiritually overfed, but they have no desire to distribute what they have learned. They have no desire to distribute tract or witness while people are perishing. Because they are inactive. They are sleeping. They just sit and eat the delicacies that come from the pulpit. And they say, love it. Really like it. But they are inactive. They are only there to eat. That's all. Not to distribute what they have learned. Well, I guess I'm telling the truth. Even King Herod loved to hear the word of God. But he wasn't a Christian. In Mark chapter 6 verse 20 says, For Herod feared John the Baptist, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. When he heard him, did many things, and he heard him gladly. So here we see even King Herod heard him gladly. And there are a lot of people are so glad to get the word of God. They are just receiving it. But they don't give it because they are sleeping. They like to eat, but they don't like to plow the field. They want to drink from the cup of the wine of the Lord, but they don't want to work in the vineyard of the Lord. Many live for themselves. They think about themselves. They are not thinking about the Lord. They are not thinking about heaven. They are not thinking about about the cross. People are selfish, self-centered in this generation. The Bible says, no man live unto himself. If you're a Christian, you live unto the Lord, whether you live or die. Oh, what amount of sleeping the church has done in this generation. If the churches are awake and can preach the gospel, we can preach the gospel to every corner of the earth. And you know the truth of the gospel. but you won't tell it. You know the truth. You have heard over and over again, abundantly being blessed, more, you have been given the meat of the word, but you don't tell anybody. Keep it for yourself. The death bell is ringing as the sinners are, they have called to hell while people are enjoying the delicacies of the word of God in the church because they are sleeping. And you are called what? The light of the world. The salt of the world. But there is no light. There is no salt. The salt has lost its flavor. There's so much crime in our cities today. And because it's dark, we are living in a dark, dark world. And we are supposed to be the light to those people. But there's no light. Because people are professing Christians are sleeping. Sleeping saints. Oh, the devil loves it. The devil loves the sleeping saints. He will make you even more comfortable. So you won't wake up. He wants you to sleep more. And this, he will make you even more comfortable because he doesn't want to wake you up. And this is the sin of doing nothing. Just hearing. The sin of doing nothing is the worst sin. Go and tell people what the Lord has done for you. Anytime the bridegroom can come. And will you find yourself asleep when the bridegroom comes? Is your candle burning? Do you have oil in your lamp? Remember the story of the 10 virgins, what we read today, the scripture reading. 5 were wise, and the other 5 were foolish. So here we see 2 kinds of people. Wise people who come to church. And these wise people are what? They hear the word of God and they obey. Just like Jesus said, it's the wise man who built his house on the rock. They hear and they obey. And the foolish, they hear. They hear good. Very good. And they like it. But there's no obedience. But they are foolish. One is alive and hungry for God. One is growing. You know, I always know when somebody is growing in the Lord. The way they pray. Yeah. You know, when somebody prays, when they pray, I know whether they are growing or not. And some people have their prayers for years and years. It's the same prayer you will hear. Some people have no growth. And growing in the Lord, so they're worshipping, you know, so here we see the wise people, they grow in the Lord, they worship Him, they serve Him, and they are watchful. The other, foolish, the unwise, they are sleeping, they live a careless, loose type of a lifestyle. They are procrastinators. They say, oh, tomorrow I will pray. Tomorrow I will read the word. Tomorrow I will witness. Tomorrow I will do this. They procrastinate daily. And they are very excited when it comes to the worldly things. When it comes to the fleshly, worldly things, they get excited. But very lazy, slothful, they slumber and sleep when it comes to spiritual things. They live under the light of the gospel and they know the dangers of hell and they really want to go to heaven. But yet they live a careless lifestyle. Some are dull, sluggish, slothful in spirit and they hear the sermons, strong sermons, but they are still sleeping. They don't talk of the spiritual things in their daily life. Let me ask you a question. How do you, you know, in the church, we can always act as Christians. But how do you live in your home? When you're at home, how do you live? Is the Lord, is He the center of your home? Are you, if the Lord is the center of your home, you will be constantly thinking and talking of Him. You will be always looking for Him, just like the other five virgins. Your heart is always full for Him. Are you living near to the cross, or are you living near to the world? But if you're living near to the cross, you'll be always talking about Jesus at home. My wife and myself at home, I talk about the Lord just like here. We talk to each other, we encourage each other, we rebuke each other, we correct each other. We do that all the time, even in the car. How about you? Do you do that? Yes? No? Sleeping? Well, many are just loitering in God's vineyard. Many are just loitering in God's vineyard. God doesn't need loiterers. God needs laborers. God doesn't mean just lukewarm Christians. He's going to spit the lukewarm Christians out of His mouth. Now, let me ask you something. Now think about this very carefully, okay? We are called pilgrims on this earth, right? Okay. Now if we are pilgrims, we are on a pilgrimage, we are just walking on this earth as pilgrims. Now, think about it. If you think that hell is behind you, and the devil is behind you, looking forward to devour you, how can you sleep? Did you get it what I said? Okay. If we are pilgrims on this earth, and we are walking as pilgrims, and if you think that the devil is behind you, and the hell is behind you, and the devil is looking forward to devour somebody, how can you sleep? How can you sleep? And there are so many spectators, but no laborers. Everybody wants to be a spectator. Maybe the devil is saying to you, oh, sleep, baby, sleep. I'm not going to bother you. You know, I'm not going to bother you. It's okay, just pay your religious duties. That's alright. Go to church, listen to the sermon, enjoy the sermon, but don't do it. Don't do what the sermon says. Don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't talk about the Lord in your home. Don't tell anybody about the Lord. Just sleep. Just go to church. Do your little duties, you know, what you had to do. Your little rituals, what you had to do to the church. Do those things. That's all right. But don't tell anybody. I don't want you to love anybody. Love the Lord Jesus. Don't worship Him. Don't serve Him. Do your things. Yeah. Many have fallen into the trap of this ritualism. And they are sleeping. When you're driving on a straight and a broad road, it can make you sleepy. Easy roads can make you sleepy. There is a saying that easy roads make sleepy travelers. Maybe you're taking the broad road. Yeah, Jesus said, many will take what? The broad road. It's so comforting to the flesh. It's so easy to take. So they are falling asleep. You know what I mean? You take a broad road. When you go on a road that is straight, straight, straight for miles and miles and miles and miles all the way, people fall asleep. But on the other hand, the Bible says there's another road, the narrow road that you have to take, which is difficult, which is windy, which is very difficult to take. You got to agonize to take that road. And if you take that road, you cannot be sleeping. Jesus said to take the narrow road that leads to life. When everything goes all well and pleasant, many people fall into sleep. Christians cannot sleep, the devil and his demons and the hungry lions are waiting on the road. How can we sleep when the devil is prowling and his demons? We need to watch them and we need to be sober. So the Christians cannot sleep because there's a war going on. There's a warfare going on. Spiritual warfare. They are waging war against us. So the Christians cannot sleep. There's a war against the flesh, a war against the world and the devil. So we need, as soldiers, we need to be alert and be sober and watchful. But for many, what war? I don't feel a war. Yeah, you don't feel it because you're sleeping and the devil loves it. Many a life is smooth sailing. No problems. And the devil loves it. And they don't realize they're at the very brink of hell. As they are fast asleep. Puritan Ralph Erskine said, "I like a roaring devil better than a sleeping devil. There's no temptation half so dangerous not being tempted." It's very true. There's no temptation half so dangerous as not being tempted. Not being tempted is the most dangerous thing. It's a slothful condition of a comfortable, sleeping, professing to be sleeping saint. And they're sleeping. They're taking no problems. Everything is fine. Fine and dandy. Wow, the Lord is blessing us. No. The Lord is not blessing you. Because the Bible says, if you do the things of the works of the Lord, you will, the godly shall be persecuted. That's what the Bible says. If anybody who wants to live a godly life shall be persecuted because he is taking the narrow road. And if you are not being persecuted, that's why the early Christians, when they were not persecuted, they were wondering what they were thinking. Maybe we are doing something right, not right. They were concerned of that. And if you go and give tracts to people, preach the gospel, and if you live a godly, holy life in front of people, not compromising their ways, and if you're correcting what they're doing wrong, you're going to be persecuted. That means you're taking the right road, narrow road. But if you are a person who always, like a politician, you know, wants to be, you know, good with everybody, when they are compromising, you compromise. When they sin, you sin. You're this man for all kinds of people. Well, you're a sleeping person. Now, in closing, how can you sleep? I cannot understand how people can sleep if they meditate on heavenly things. I believe people are sleeping because they are not thinking of heaven. Absolutely not. They're not thinking of heaven. No. They're not staying close to the cross. Absolutely not. You cannot sleep. Impossible to sleep at the throne of God, at the very throne of God. If you are living very close to God and if you are living at the very close to the throne room of God, how can you sleep? There's no way you can sleep. So I believe people are not thinking about these things. Their mind is polluted and they're meditating only on these things. But you know, they say, but these things are very important. The life things. Of course, it is important. Everything is important. But what is the most? Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God. He gave the formula. First seek the kingdom. How hard is it to understand that? Even a little child can understand that. Did it make it so difficult to understand when he said, first seek the kingdom of God? Is it more complicated? Do you have to be a mathematician to understand that? Do you have to be an engineer or a scientist to understand that? No. It's so easy to understand. Why is it that you don't do it? Why is it that people don't want to do it? Because they're sleeping. That's the thing. They are fast asleep. And so how can you sleep if you meditate on heavenly things? Think about this, okay? Just think about it. When we die, we go to heaven, right? Alright. Now, this life is very short, isn't it? Very short. Now, if you think about that the heavenly gates are waiting, wide open, waiting for you. The angels in heaven are excited to receive you, and they are going to sing a song for you, a welcome song, when you go to heaven. And they are excited. And there's a mansion waiting for you. And there's a crown waiting to be put on your head. And there are streets of gold that you can go in. And how can you sleep if you think about these things? How can you sleep? How can you sleep? You should be excited about these things. A crown is given not to people who are loitering in the God's vineyard. A crown is given not to the spectators, but to those who run the race. A crown is given to those who run the race. Crown is given to the laborers of the kingdom of God. Remember, Samson lost his hair or strength while sleeping on the lap of carnal security. There is a perishing world around us, and to sleep is very cruel. Very cruel. And there is eternity is so near at hand, and sleeping is very foolish. And it's really foolish. And here, we need to wake up. Wake up. Oh God, my prayer is, God, wake those who are sleeping with thunder and lightning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the words of sweetness of Christ and the bitterness of your word, Lord. Your word is sweet and also it's bitter, but it's good for our health. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, as we come and see the beauty and the sweetness of our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done for miserable sinners like us, as the fountain has been opened, that we can go and drink the living waters, eat the bread of life, eat the bread of life, and that we can enter through the gate that He has opened. We can eat the green pastures as He has directed us to go where to go. Oh Father, how can we sleep? We pray and ask, Lord, that You would awaken the sleepy saints, Lord. And that, Lord, if it's possible, that You would chasten them, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that You would chasten them, discipline them, Lord. And if it's possible, that You will bring persecution, Lord, to wake up the church, Lord. And You will bring hardship, Lord, to wake up the church, Lord. And that You will bring difficulties, Lord, that they would be waken up, Lord. Sometimes when we lose our jobs, sometimes when we don't have money, but sometimes when that's the time people wake up and pray. Oh, fathers, we are living in an abundance of comfort here. And that people in the church are sleeping. They have no feeling at all. They are not active. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, the sermon that was given today, that You would convict everybody, Lord, according to You know them, Lord. You know them who really loves You and who not. You know, Lord, every heart in this church and every person that you hear who are hearing the words of God. And You know, Lord, that where they stand. You know the motives, Lord, and what people are thinking. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, as the psalmist prayed, Lord, if there is any wicked way in us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that You will come And show that wickedness in us, Lord, that we would not be prideful, Lord. That we would be humble before you, Lord. That we would be sincere before you. That we would be honest before you, Lord. That we would confess our sins to you, Lord. Give us a true hunger, Lord. Give us a true hunger for you, Lord. That we would love you from the bottom of our hearts, just like the early Christians who was not fearful, not scared to die. They were eaten by the hungry lions, but they were not scared to die. They were crucified for you, and they were martyred for you, because they loved the Word of God, they loved Jesus more than the world. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would send your Spirit, Lord. Father, there was only 12 people, Lord, the disciples. Oh, what a change they made, Lord. It's because they live with Jesus. In the same way, if we live in Jesus, with Jesus, if we live under the cross, oh, what a change that can make. What a change. There's nothing impossible with God. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would remove the fear that man has, Lord. People are fearful, they are shy, they are lazy, they don't want to talk. We pray, Lord, that you would give boldness, Lord, that they would open their mouth and talk without fearing of man. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would send your Spirit, Lord, that you would give a fire in their belly, Lord. That the fire that you have put on this pulpit will spread to the congregation, Lord. The fire that has been lighted in this pulpit will spread to each and every person, Lord. That there will be a fire in the church. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, as we are living in this dark, dark, deep, sinful world, that we would be truly your representatives, Lord. That you will remove any hypocrisy, Lord. That knowing one thing, not doing anything. Oh, Father, that we would confess our sins to one another, Lord. That you would heal us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.